Congratulations. You just found yourself the most entertaining, undisputed number one Iowa podcast in the space. It's Washup Walk-Ons. Today we bring on Austin Blythe, his third time on the show, to catch up with the boy about dad life, more insight into a post-NFL pro athlete career. We talk about entrepreneurship, wrestling, dance recitals, and a whole lot more. Enjoy the show. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome into the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast, episode 519. I don't know, I've got 418, almost 100 to the dot, Austin, that we had you on last year.
I don't know why you keep asking me back. I'm an old washed up retiree.
You're perfect for the show. Anybody that will oblige and who has experience and will come on the show, well, quite honestly, it's because last week I gave you a text about the about something else, and then I was like, oh, we should have him back on. Like, if I ever talk to a former teammate and I don't, at least in my position, I don't throw the, hey, you should come on our podcast, then I feel like it's a missed opportunity. Are you sitting in the man cave right now?
No, this is my office. I thought about going down in the man cave, but, you know, I got that Hawks by a Million flag hung up. I don't know if I sent you a picture, but
did it get there?
Oh yeah, it's up. I'll send you a picture.
Need it. You want to know something cool, actually. Did you watch, you guys watch the full court press?
I haven't watched it yet.
So for anybody listening, probably a ton of you have already watched it. 4-part docuseries on Caitlin and a couple other players from last year's season. That thing opens up in episode one, and they're kind of showing all the hype of Caitlin in the last 2 years. And they show the game day shot, where like basketball game day came to Iowa City for the Iowa Indiana game. And right there at the bottom of the screen on the documentary, Hawks by a Million flag. Yeah. My wife was like, did you see it? And I was like, what? She's like, your flag was up there. I was like,
Well, now you have to send a cease and desist so you can get some money. Like, hey, we need a portion of revenue from this documentary. You used our flag.
We're going to need some royalties on that.
Hey, Peyton, Omaha Productions. Come on.
Yeah. Do you know Peyton? You were in Indianapolis for a little bit.
No, he was gone. So I had Andrew as my quarterback. So,
and he's gone too.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. He's more gone than Peyton now.
Yeah.
Can anybody find him? Does anybody know where he's at?
I don't even know. Somebody asked me the other day, like, is he in Indianapolis? Don't know.
Well, he rolled up to that preseason game or whatever, or was it Thursday Night Football or something? He was like way skinny and just living life.
Yeah. I know he's got a couple kids now, a couple daughters, I think. So,
dude, how long was he in the league for? 5 years?
Yeah. 6 years, maybe.
Signed a massive. I mean, he was a top draft pick coming out of college.
Yep.
And then
number one.
Did he sign a second deal?
Yeah, he signed a second deal, and I think
had to have, right?
The headlines with that was, I think Irsay, he didn't make him pay it back.
Irsay did not make him pay it back?
Correct.
Fuck. So he walked with it all, huh?
Yep.
Eesh. I mean, he deserved it.
I think so. I could be totally wrong, but.
He did it right, man. He did it right. Do you ever, I mean, you played what, 7 years?
Seven, yeah.
So I guess, I mean, you walked away.
Yeah.
You could have stuck it out and kept trying to.
Definitely. I did not. I was not Andrew Luck. I was not in the rehab room every day, every game, you know, in the morning, after practice, before practice. That wasn't me. So. I think I remember a story that he told, like he was just in tears about how much pain he was in, and just daily, weekly, he'd take pills on pills and just couldn't do it anymore. So it was luckily that was not me.
It wasn't in neck stuff too. Like not somewhere.
It was significant injuries. Yeah.
Dude,
it wasn't just like him being, you know, a baby and being banged up. Like he was significantly injured.
Have you guys ever hurt your neck for like an extended amount of time?
No, yes. Thank God.
So I do CrossFit, which involves handstand push-ups, which means you're going up and down on your head. And before I was experienced enough to do them at the rate I was trying to do them at competitively, I had one where I kind of like, I didn't brace right. Uh-oh. And I just came down and just like crunched myself. And I would say for 2 weeks, I couldn't turn it either way, like without searing pain down my back. And then for probably another 2 weeks after that, it was real, like, you know, it just gradually came back. I'm surprised you never had any neck stuff, Austin.
Not anything from football. I've been dropped on my head a couple times in wrestling where it was like crunch, like exactly like you just described. And it's a, you know, the zing down the arm and yeah, not good. So
I think
what's that?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of ironic that, you know, I played a professional career in football and never had anything significant with my neck there.
Not only that, but you played, I mean, you're literally ramming your face into somebody on every play.
Yeah. I don't know. There's guys that lead with their helmets, but man, I don't know how they just have no nerve endings left, I guess. I don't know.
They can't. They can't. Or brain cells. I mean, Do you ever worry about that?
Some.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's times, you know, Kylie tells me stuff and I'm like, I don't remember that.
Well, I think that might just
I don't know. That's probably pretty normal, but
I think all men out there have suffered from some of that. Cause I didn't take very many hits. And sometimes my wife is like, you know, we talked about this, right?
Yeah.
I do not recall.
Okay. Well, that gives me some, you know, some hope.
It's embarrassing when that happens. Cause I don't have an excuse.
Yeah, you do. You played.
Come on, buddy. You know exactly what I did.
I'm trying to give you some credit here.
No, the wrong show for that. You've come to the wrong place. Drake and Kevin would be disappointed in you.
Yeah.
You mentioned wrestling. Our guy, Spencer Lee, he's going to the Olympics.
Yeah. I mean, that was big time. I know it was funny. His toughest match was probably his first one, wrestling that number one seed from China.
The China guy? Yeah.
Yep. And then I think his finals match was what, 57 seconds or something like that?
I think he only had one difficult match, and it was the China.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, Zane Rutherford got it done too to qualify all six weights for the U.S. and the freestyle games. So some good representation.
That's a big deal, right?
Some big news going around in the wrestling.
I don't follow, and I know Grant doesn't either. This isn't a wrestling podcast. So I mean, you're a wrestling guy, though. You still follow all that stuff?
Yeah, I try to, especially now that I'm done. Like, I've got the time to kind of invest. I watched the trials a little bit. And then I think it was just this last weekend, wasn't it, that he qualified?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It was really recently. It was during graduation. They were like,
yeah. So I missed some of it because of Callie's dance recital. So I'm a first year dance dad.
Oof. Uh-huh. Tell me about that, because that's probably in the future.
I'm doing all the things, you know, all the retired dad things. So this weekend, I don't know why it was over Mother's Day weekend, but it's every year over Mother's Day weekend, much to the chagrin of mothers everywhere. You know?
Yeah, for real. But
we did a daddy-daughter dance, so she was pumped about that. So, you know, that's why I didn't get to watch some of the wrestling this time around, but I was able to watch the trials.
So footwork still good then for the daddy-daughter dance? Were you prepped and ready?
No, luckily she's just in preschool. So all I really had to do, I had to, you know, kneel down, stand up, pick her up, twirl her. And that was pretty much the essence of the dance. So
perfect.
Not too much 1, 2, 3, 4 counting, you know?
So I sat through a lot of dance recitals growing up with my sister. How long are these ones? Cause I remember, like, in my mind, again, I was like 8, but like, I was under the impression that these shows were 4.5 hours long.
Yeah. So luckily the preschoolers had the first session. It was only an hour and a half.
Okay.
And we were out of there. But that Saturday, I think we started at 10, and then the last session didn't even start till 7:30.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing, is like, so I one of three brothers, so I never had to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either.
Yeah, you same for you. But I have cousins, actually, shout out to my cousin Kennedy, who is going to be on the Iowa dance team next year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a really, like, well, may even possibly, from what I understand, it could be possibly harder to be recruited to be on the dance team than it is the football team.
I can imagine.
I think that, I mean, from the looks of it, I think they only take like 6 or 7 girls. And That's a covenant spot.
How intense to walk on for some of the grade school girls this weekend? You know, I can imagine.
And this Kennedy, so Kennedy's she's like the GOAT. She's won like, there's 416 divisions, at least from what I can tell. And there's 16 different types of dance. So there's a lot of champions, but my cousin is like the GOAT. She's won state of whatever her division was for the past like 3 years in high school. And I'm glad that she's going to be a Hawk because there were other options on the table, I think. But she would like, my mom as her aunt would like, live stream her dance recitals over the past few years, and they go all day. Then you come back and you have another one if you do it all, and then you have a group dance.
Yep.
And then there's a do, and then there's in there's you and a partner do it, and like, can you do you get to go home? Can you run to the Subway down the street and grab a sandwich? Is there any reprieve? Because from what I hear, it's just some of the worst. Like, you just, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, luckily I was only there for an hour and a half. And
yeah, you're screwed. You're gonna get deeper and deeper.
Maybe.
Well, that's the thing.
Might just encourage, like, hey, you know, like, let's try something else this year.
Yeah, volleyball, basketball.
Yeah,
something that has a time limit on it or an inning limit.
Oh yeah.
Do they like sports? The kids like sports.
They do. Yeah. Actually, we're in the midst of a wrestling camp this week with Reed. So
is that like in Iowa City?
No, it's actually just the high school one.
Oh, it's there in Williamsburg.
Through Williamsburg. So
yeah, are you helping with that?
Yeah. I mean, it's really just like after school daycare. Sure. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But so it's pretty basic. It's good though. It's just fun.
Does watching Spencer Lee and the Hawks wrestle, does it make you ever want to get back out there on the mat?
Oh yeah.
Throw hands around.
I love it. We got a couple heavyweights in the Williamsburg room in high school that I was able to roll around with a little bit this year. And then I got a good relationship with the athletic director down at Central in Pella.
Oh yeah.
And I've gone down there in that room a little bit to roll around there. And then I've never had the opportunity of going to the hour room, but I'm sure I could probably make a couple calls and see what that's all about. But I would probably get mocked, you know.
Around to different like Iowa local gyms and wrestling the first person you see.
Blythe, we could turn this into a I have a lot of time on my hands.
Make it a pay-per-view.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's just make it a walk-on thing, like wrestle Austin Blythe, right? Yeah, and you just show up and they just line up one by one. We take their money, say, all right, you got 60 seconds. Do your worst, you know,
hey,
and you just pin anywhere from, you know, 12-year-olds who think they're, you know, big stuff all the way to like 50-year-old dudes who think they're going to like beat up some old Iowa Hawkeye lineman. And you're just laying guys down left and right.
Hey, you got to scratch that competitive itch somehow. And I can't think of a better way.
I think it's a great way. I don't think you would get, I know we've had you on twice before now. We've talked about it before, but like, I mean, you were recruited to wrestle at a high level, and you were pretty decent in high school. Like, didn't you like, did you win it three times or four?
Yep. Three-time champ, one-time runner up. And you know,
does that runner up still eat you to this day?
I don't know. It's not like it was a close match. I mean, the guy that I was wrestling with,
oh really?
Like,
okay. Was it freshman year that you runner up?
Yeah. Freshman year. And I was 15.
There's a little less sting to it then.
Yeah. Not even shaving yet, you know?
Sure.
So, but no, I didn't have, you know, I'd committed to play football prior to like any serious wrestling talks happening.
Yeah.
But I remember after my true freshman year, you know, the shakeup happened with Reese Morgan, switching over to D-line coach, and then Brian being hired. And, you know, I didn't have like a super fun first year playing football. I knew football was probably what I wanted to do. I wasn't going to give it up by any means.
As far as in high school?
No, in college.
Nope. Okay. Okay.
And I knew I wasn't going to give it up and I was going to play football throughout college. But, you know, part of me wondered what would happen if I tried to do both. You know, ultimately, I didn't do both. I just, the way that Iowa runs their spring football, it's, you know, the NCAA national championships are that last week of March. And that's typically Iowa spring break. And then right after spring break, the Iowa football program starts their spring ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine Coach Doyle and Coach Ferentz not giving me shit for, you know, being there and a willing participant day one of spring ball. So like the break would be non-existent.
That would have been brutal.
I don't know how Keeter's doing it. Like,
well, I was just going to say, we've got some guy who's trying.
I know. And it's impressive. Like, I mean,
what are your thoughts on that?
It seems like he's thriving, you know, when he committed to do it coming out of high school, to be honest, I wasn't sure that he would be able to, like,
I'm still not, sure.
You know, jack of all trades, master of none type of thing. But yeah, just because of what it entails, especially at Iowa, like I know how that room's run and the culture that they, you know, instill into their wrestlers. And then obviously being part of the football program, I've firsthand experience knowing what that's about. And to put the two together, like if he goes through it and is successful in both, is, you know,
I don't even care if he ends up being a major contributor on either team. If he runs the gamut and does both for 4-5 years, he's either the toughest son of a bitch that's ever been born, or both sides were like, hey, we'll cut it back intentionally for you. But I just don't see that. I know that. So we talked to Brody Breck too, who is doing baseball and football. Yeah. And obviously baseball physically wise is not nearly as demanding as the second sport of wrestling.
Yeah.
But even Brody said that, like, that 8-week period where baseball starts to ramp up, but you know what that 8-week period entails when you start the spring semester for Iowa football. It's that like grind in the weight room before the spring break.
Oh yeah.
He said his body was like shutting down.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And he got to the point where like he really tried not to like make excuses or like ask for like to get out of a lift because he had to do both. But there was at one point where he got back from a baseball something like their preseason scrimmage that they had from somewhere. It was like 3 a.m. by the time he got back to his dorm room, and he had to wake up at 5:15 for a football lift. And he was like,
"That's good napping."
And he was like, "Hey Ray, I can't make it. Like, yeah. I can't do this." So Keeter, and I don't, what was the extent of how important Keeter, what, you know, I know the heavy, was our heavyweight affected by all that gambling stuff? So Keeter got more action than.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I'm not like super keyed into, you know, the inner workings of the program, but I don't think he probably would have gotten near the matches. He might have gotten a, you know, 2-3 matches, something like that. But
yeah,
then he's probably 3 deep if, you know, Cassiope, that doesn't happen to him with the gambling stuff. So
yeah,
I think what he got this year was invaluable. I think, man, just he's an explosive athlete. Like, I think he'll be just fine, you know, on the wrestling mat. You know, I haven't been able to watch him play football. But just the two different kinds of conditioning and shape you have to be in for football and wrestling, like, football, it's 4-6 second bursts of energy, and then you're off for 30 seconds, you know. And then wrestling, it is 7 minutes plus of just hammering on each other, like getting punched in the face, trying to hold a guy down, trying to get out from under a guy, trying to take a guy down who doesn't want to get taken down. Like, the expenditure between the two sports are entirely different. So having to train himself for those alone, like you said, if he does that for 4 to 5 years, aside from all like how successful he is just impressive in itself.
In your opinion, can you reach your potential in one of the sports if you're trying to do both?
So, yeah, I would say no.
That's my opinion.
And so far, like, I mean, from what I've saw, and again, I'm by no means a wrestling expert, but what I saw from him on the wrestling mat, like, he could easily do what he wants to do on the wrestling mat. So it'll
be, I mean, that's what they're saying is they kind of called him like probably one of the, maybe if not the best talent we've picked up in the wrestling program since Spencer came in.
I would probably agree.
And looking at the football side of things, I think it helps that he plays linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two of the best in college football who are now both returning again for this upcoming season. So it's kind of giving him a couple buffer years to really get acclimated to the football side of things too.
Mm-hmm.
He's not thrown in the fire right away over there. And I would have to go back and check how many reps he got on special teams. I guarantee he played some special teams last year.
Yeah.
Probably like punt return or some low key stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we haven't needed him at linebacker, but it just seems like it's impossible if you're spending the amount of time to also play another Division I sport that time couldn't be spent getting better at the other one.
Yeah. And I mean, by the time football season's done, like if you have a successful year in football,
it's January.
You're playing a New Year's bowl game, and that season, I mean, the wrestling season's half over.
Yeah.
At least a third over. And
and supposedly he's going to wrestle at the weight that he plays football at, like 250, 255. Probably.
Yeah, and I would guess that's what Kirk Fleet from Penn State, the champion from this year, probably wrestled at. I think he weighed in. I remember going to the Penn State Iowa meet. I think he weighed in at like 240 something. So
wow, as a heavy
right guy. There, right? Yeah, right there in the ballpark. You know, when Steve.
And so those guys just win with speed.
Yeah, and just I mean they're strong and they're explosive. So I mean it's a different breed than when I wrestled. It was bigger guys. Stronger guys, but now it's just kind of like a blend.
It just, man, and to think he's playing linebacker at 250, I mean, if he's carrying that weight well, which he does,
yeah,
he's got a frame on him.
Well, he's probably 6'3" or 6'4".
I was gonna say, if he's 6'4", Grant, check out what the Keeter is on the football roster.
I mean, to me, I mean, what was Campbell? Campbell was kind of the same.
I know Campbell was 6'5", I think 242.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine not them
listed
not
at 6'3", 220.
Yeah.
He's heavier than that. It's hard for me to imagine that they don't put his hand in the dirt and make him like a stand-up end.
A rush end or something like that, yeah. Especially if he can translate his explosiveness on the mat to that kind of position on the field, yeah.
On the edge, going against tackles, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely rooting for him. I've become a fan just watching him. I didn't really know him in high school or watch him in high school because I was doing my own thing. But now that I'm back and, like I said, have some time to invest in watching those. Like I was able to watch his matches. And I mean, I'm excited to see how he can do.
It would be so cool if he was just dominating as a heavyweight and then also starting at linebacker. Like, it would just be an insane story.
Well, I was going to say, wrestling has him listed at 6'3", 285. Also, with his wrestling profile,
I don't think he's
that's the limit for heavyweight. So,
and
interestingly enough, there's another one from Nebraska that's doing it,
Hutchmacher or whatever.
Yeah, yep.
And he's the heavyweight for them.
Yep, and
they call him the polar bear.
He probably has to cut.
They can't put guys that big in all white unitards. By the way, that's just criminal. Yeah. That's insane. Unitards. Or what do you call them?
They're singlets.
Singlets. I don't know. Okay, I don't know wrestling.
They do look like leotards from the dance recital that Blythe was at last week.
They do.
I mean, can we not get something better? These dudes' cock and balls are just everywhere. Especially if you're well endowed. I mean, you're running out there. It's just like, what are we doing? Like, can we make it
comfortable? Got to be comfortable in your own skin, Tyler.
I guess.
There's some like flow wrestling events that have gone away from the traditional singlet and kind of gone like, you know, MMA shorts and a tight top.
Or can we just wear like some tight compression shorts underneath the singlet?
I mean, guys usually do. I did.
Is there a rule that you can't?
Some of these guys certainly are not, or they're just working with something that I'm unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
Probably both.
Same.
You mentioned you have more time on your hands. What does a day in the life of Austin Blythe look like these days? Is it weird to you're talking? It's funny because I'm experiencing the same thing as a dad now.
Mm-hmm.
And you go from, and I don't know how much you struggled with this or not, but you go from this identity of an athlete, like it's all about me, right? And my career, and I'm trying to be like this, you know, masculine football player, NFL, all this stuff. And now you find yourself on the weekend pulling up to the auditorium for an hour and a half of, you know, Frozen dance recital. Like, do you ever sit back and realize that contrast and think, man, what, it's crazy how life changes in 10 years.
Yeah. I think I've never really struggled with it. Cause you know, I think the fun part for Kylie and I was we chose when we retired, you know, it was very much a family decision. And so I kind of had time to accept that and sure. kind of think about what life would look like when I did have more time at home and all that good stuff. So that part I haven't really struggled with, but it definitely has been a transition of like, all right, I don't have to carve out 2 hours of my day to go train and do speed work and condition and all that stuff. I don't have to do that anymore. So, yeah. But like my wrestler mentality and my athlete mentality, like I struggle with that a lot. Like if I don't get a workout in, whatever, however it shakes out, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever, I get some severe anxiety, like, oh God, I missed a workout. I can't be, but it's been fun. I mean, you know, right now we took a year to just kind of, you know, be us and
chill.
Yeah. Regain some time as a family and travel and do some other things and just be around for the kids too. And Kylie and let her kind of do her thing. If, you know, I've really tried hard to, if something comes up for her to allow her never to have to say no. To any kind of social event or travel or anything like that, because she gave up a lot of time for me to do my thing. And you know it's been a lot of fun transitioning into this phase. And you know, moving forward, we have the Hunt Club in Parnell, the Legacy Acres Pheasant Club, and so kind of transition into that role a little bit more, kind of doing the front office day-to-day stuff and you know, developing relationships with the people there, which is, you know, part of the reason why I decided to buy it with Kurt, my father-in-law. So, looking forward to this fall. So
how's that going?
It's good. It's good. We, you know, just,
do you feel like a more, do you feel it? So explain it a little bit for the people. Like what's the product? If you want to, if someone was going to come to you guys, it's like a one-stop shop for a hunting weekend, right?
Yeah. Yeah. If somebody calls us up and says, hey, I want to come out and, you know, I want to get a hunt in. So we set you up with a guide, or, you know, if you have your own bird dogs that you want to come out and use the field, we put out some birds. Typically it's about a handful, 4 or 5 birds a person. And you come out, you get a hunt for 3 hours. And, the nice thing about us, we're a licensed preserve. So we can hunt from September 1st to March 31st. And it's a no limit bird hunt where typically, if you're going to hunt during, you know, designated pheasant hunting seasons in the winter, you're only limited to 3 birds. So with us, you can come out and shoot as many birds as you can see and you can hit. You know, sometimes people hit less than others, which is okay. Just keeps people coming back. So, but we have a beautiful 16 bedroom lodge that we can host people in. And like I said, getting to meet people from Ohio, from Atlanta, from Michigan, from,
they'll come in from all over, huh?
Oh yeah, from South Dakota, from, you know, Missouri, Indiana, like everywhere people come, and it's fun getting to build those relationships and you know, see what they're about. So
how many places like Legacy Acres are there in Iowa?
There's actually quite a few. Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed this many when we first started, but kind of doing research on, you know, when we first started setting our prices and packages and stuff like that, there's probably, you know, 10 to 15 that, you know, you search pheasant preserves in Iowa and, you know, get a list of all those places. So,
wow.
Not all of them do it quite like we do. You know, I think we're kind of unique because of our accommodations. We put up.
Yeah. That sounds insane. Like is the goal to be like the premier one?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, for me and Kurt, especially, like, I don't know why you'd do anything if you didn't want to be, you know, right, the top dog. So really striving to be kind of an all-around place. Like, we just hosted a fundraising event a couple weekends ago. Went really well. We've done several graduation parties, a ton of family reunions in the summer, and it's just a great place. Like, good scenery. you know, the rolling hills, good sunsets, good sunrises, all that good stuff. So it's just a good place.
And so you're going to take a, more hands-on role with that as you get further into retired life here.
Yes.
Do you feel like that's holding that operation back a little bit without you fully hands-on every day?
Not necessarily me, but with another set of hands, it's definitely going to help.
Yeah.
Kind of expand our capacity and our capabilities for hosting more people and just, you know, figuring out different ways to bring people to the property.
Yeah. Marketing it,
you know, cause when we first started, we were really like a 6 month business, you know, like I said, September to March is really when we operated. And then we would have to figure out, you know, how to stretch the dollar and make it work for the 6 months that we didn't host hunters. But now with the lodge, like I said, we've got graduation parties. We've done a few wedding receptions. We've got,
so you'll just book the lodge out as like a, as a building basically.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, we've got tons of pictures on our website and
wow.
Incredible. So people are, you know, there's, at this point there's a wait list and people are booking.
Hell yeah.
Know, especially in the summer. It's,
dude, that's sick.
Yeah, it's good. It's, you know, people are calling now for later on in the summer. It's like, sorry, the weekends are filled. So
that's awesome.
It's a good problem to have. And, you know, I'm excited to see where we can take it.
Did you plan on, I feel like it's the way of the professional athlete is sort of something in the entrepreneurial space like that. Probably less of a common occurrence to get a professional athlete, especially someone who had a, what I'll call a long career, a longer than average career for sure. And has, you know, done well, collected some resources and, you know, set themselves up a little bit for, I was going to say the afterlife, but that's you're not dead. The after professional life, it's hard to imagine. And you hear about it sometimes, but like people going into like a normal desk job after that, like there's just not a lot of reason. And so most guys like open a business or start a company or do something, you know, was that something that was always, did you ever think about that when you were playing?
Yeah, for sure.
Before you ever bought this place.
Yeah. You know, you kind of think about your plan for what your life will look like afterwards. And I think initially I thought I'd go back to the university and do something in alumni relations or
what's your degree in?
Communication studies. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, I internshipped, you know, at University of Iowa Foundation where you develop those relationships with alumni and ultimately ask them for cash. So
more money. Yeah.
I don't know if that's really where I would have went, but somewhere, you know, helping with the football program, either with kind of what Ben has done now with like the Legacy Hawk stuff. Like,
yep.
I think I would have enjoyed that because I've always enjoyed the relationship part of anything that I've done. But no, I didn't really, this didn't really come about or, you know, thinking about doing my own thing or being an entrepreneur didn't come about until this opportunity presented itself in 2018. Mm. And I think the reason people, especially NFL guys or just athletes in general, kind of move towards that space, the entrepreneurship space, is because at least for me, you know, my schedule and my day to day for 8 months out of the year for the last 7 years has been dictated for me, like to the minute.
Yeah.
You know, you wake up, you go to meetings or lift at 7, you go to meetings at 7:50, you eat lunch between this and this time. And then after 5:45, 6 o'clock at night, you're free to do whatever you want, but you go home and you have
all you want to do is sleep.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you go home if you have kids, you take care, you help your wife to take care of your kids and go to bed and you do it all over again. So I think that's probably why people kind of gravitate towards that space. And for me, yeah, it's too, with the career that I did have, I've been able to kind of, or I was able to choose kind of a passion project, so to speak. Like,
well, that's the other benefit of being a professional athlete. You're smart with your money. I mean, athletes all over the place are making insane money. You now have resources to kind of get into whatever you want.
Yeah.
Which helps a lot, right? Like a lot of a larger barrier entry for a lot of people in starting a business is like, yeah, I'd like to do this, but I need 200 grand to kind of get it off the ground. And I don't really have the ability to take a loan out for that. And, you know,
yeah, definitely. So, I mean, it's been a lot of fun and it does give us some time to, kind of build legacy into what we really truly envision it being.
Yeah. Making your own schedule is sick. It's like working on stuff when you want to work on something is the best part about what I do now. And yeah, it's nice to not have someone telling you where you need to be.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. You mentioned, is there anything else that you see yourself getting into? That's where I was going to go with that next. Has this sparked like a, you know, Josie obviously is our buddy from our class, and he's got the, we're talking about business ideas with him all the time. We just had Ward's bachelor party in Vegas this 2 weekends ago. And I think we spent like an hour talking about how we're going to open Outlaw's Steakhouse in Iowa City.
There you go.
We've been talking about Outlaw's Steakhouse for like 7 years now. And this, like the six of us are going to go in on it.
Get with Kading.
And that's what we said. We're going to talk to Nate because he's already in the restaurant business in the area. It is not a joke. It is like a legitimate possibility that we eventually look into this.
Did you pitch to him buying a lacrosse team?
I did not pitch to him buying the Denver Outlaws next cross team. But
Blythe, I have a idea for you now then. For your next business adventure.
Okay.
Denver Outlaws buying a lacrosse team.
You've piqued my interest.
Are they profitable? Is that a good investment, Grant?
I don't think it's a bad one. I don't know.
I don't think.
You know, I've always loved the idea. Obviously, the super hypothetical, I don't think it would ever become a reality, but someone bringing a sports team to Des Moines.
Yeah.
I know it's a smaller market, but it can't be that much smaller than an Indianapolis, you know, or a Minneapolis. You know, I know there's cities around those and stuff like that, but man, I mean, if you bring a pro team to Iowa, how hard these fans ride for like their universities, especially. Yeah. If you can give them one singular pro team, I mean,
well,
what league do you want? Like, what team do you want there?
If you had I don't know.
For a long while here, while Caitlin was still at Iowa, they're like, hey, here's an idea: give the WNBA 2 or 4 expansion teams this upcoming season.
Mm-hmm.
Give Des Moines one of them, because not only does Iowa support women's basketball, but Drake does a great job. Des Moines supports Drake. Yeah. And Iowa State, they're a top 10 women's basketball team going into next year, and they've always supported their women's basketball team. Like, you have the fans. Give Des Moines the first pick. Let them draft Caitlin. Bring her back home. She could literally live in her childhood bedroom.
Yeah.
Play for the Des Moines whatever. And have a team in the dub. But yeah, it would be sick. I mean, it is small. Des Moines is small. I get it.
Yeah. I just think the fandom, the Iowa fandom in general, just for the Drake fans, the Iowa State fans, the UNI and Iowa fans, like you get all those groups of people rooting for one team
together.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you have, I know plenty of people that buy season tickets for the Vikings, the Bears, the Packers, the Chiefs, you know? Like
that would be the dream, the ultimate dream is if they put an NFL team in Des Moines. It would be so sick.
Yeah.
Well, we do have the Barnstormers.
Yeah, there you go.
We got the Barnstormers. We have the Iowa Wolves. They're a G League team.
The what? I'm sorry. What was that?
Wolves.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had a stroke there for a second. Oh, okay.
The Wolves.
They're the Wolves, baby.
Iowa Cubs.
The Cubs.
Yeah, I think all those are sustainable. So, I mean, you give them a pro team. Come on now.
Feels like it could work. You mentioned before, you know, you don't have to train now 2 hours a day. But you and I were going back and forth a little bit earlier this year. And I, by the looks of it in your face, I think we might have made some progress on you losing a little weight. What's the body athlete journey been like post-career now? What does like a day of nutrition and workouts look like for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was always a guy in the league. I've always been a generally bigger guy, like always been the biggest son in the family.
Big boned.
Yeah. Right. And you know, my biggest fear after I was done playing is that I would go skyrocket in the opposite direction. Right. So,
right.
And, you know, the wrestler in me probably would never let that happen, but or just the discipline, you know, the willpower to, you know, stay relatively fit. But anyway, you know, after I was done, I stopped lifting heavy. I started trying to maintain the muscle mass and just kind of lean out. Mm-hmm. But now, for the first 6 months, I was a big Peloton guy, bike guy. So, and then I started resistance training again. And oh my gosh, when I started back, I started benching. I was like hitting like 185, like 10 times. And I was struggling on the 10th rep, you know, like, it's just funny how fast it goes.
Oh yeah.
But then now training again, you know, I do kind of, I've sent you some of the workouts that I've been doing now, like a cross between cardio and CrossFit and some weightlifting thrown in there.
What's the scale look like these days?
I'm about 270.
Okay. You
know, I haven't stepped on the scale in a long time.
You don't look 270 in the face, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just want to feel good, really. Like the goal weight would be if I could ideally get down to like 250, but
right.
You know, I enjoy going out with Kylie or friends and, you know, socially being, having fun doing all that stuff. So I don't know if that goal weight is ever achievable without like 6 months of consistent, strict dieting and the working out. You know, I kind of work out to work out for pleasure, you know? So, but those workouts, I try to work out 5 times a week. And, you know, I think again, like I mentioned, it's some of that anxiety. If I don't get like 5 workouts in, you know, Kylie gives me such a hard time. Like, you're going to be fine. You will live. Like, you don't need 5 workouts. If you don't want to work out today, don't. But it's just like, it's hardwired and it's really hard to reverse it.
Well, I think it's something where
you need to get a workout in.
I think it's something too, like, it sort of does become, I mean, I'm a psycho, right? I'm on the far side of things. I am absolutely someone who, like, especially if I was just going easy, like, there will come a time for me where it's like, I am just going to work out for 45 minutes to an hour a day. And I will need that every single day, even if it's like one day, an hour of walking or something.
Right. Yeah.
I think you should move your body at minimum 30 minutes of walking every single day. There should never be a day where you just don't do anything, including go for a walk. But I think for a lot of people, it gets to the point where it's like you said earlier, the sort of the mental jitters and energy of, like, you can physically start to feel it in your demeanor, in your mood, if you don't get a workout in. And so it's like, at that point, it does start to become unhealthy the other way, where it's like, if you don't have some outlet to get that out, then you start to be less of what, you know, the best version of Austin Blythe could be. So it's like, hey, if you got to go to the gym for 45 minutes and do whatever you got to do to get it out, like, that's a better spot to be than like, oh, I can't make it into the gym more than once a week. You know?
Yeah, no doubt.
It's funny. I think it's funny how many guys, you know, you said you probably wouldn't let yourself get there, whether it be the wrestler mentality that takes over, just like the general, like, you know, desire to be fit and healthy. I think it's amazing how many guys don't have that, that play professional sports. Like, you are not the only or the first by a long shot former teammate that I've had who has come to me now 6-7 years after playing and been like, hey, could I get some tips on this? Could you write me a pro? Like Marshall, I think, came to me before his wedding, like 60 days before his wedding. He's like, hey, I need to look great on wedding day. Like, give me
that asshole. Like,
he's an asshole, right? Yeah. Like, he's been skinny his whole life, muscular, toned. Yeah. But like, he even came to me and was like, hey, can you write me a program for the next 2 months for my wedding? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I've had plenty of other guys be like, hey, like, what are you doing? And like, I tell them, well, you don't want to do what I'm doing, but like, we can definitely get you in the right spot. And like, some guys just like, they do it as a necessity, as part of the job. And then afterwards, they don't want to touch another weight ever.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, I don't know if you want to swing that far. Like, you're going to figure out that you need to do something.
Yeah. Like I'm somewhere in the middle. Like, I don't think I'll ever put, you know, 550 on my back again, or
no reason to.
Right. Yeah.
But 225 to push the, you know, to push the stimulus a little bit and keep your legs strong. That is absolutely important.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you say that. You're like, you don't want to do what I do. I've seen, I've talked to James Ferentz a little bit, and he's went way down. Like I think he's down to like under 250 maybe.
Really? Already.
And, you know, I'm like, dude, you look great. Like, what are you doing? He's like, you don't want to do this. He's like, he's fasting. He's only eating for like 6 hours a day, and he's cramming everything into the 6 hours, and he's eating, he's at like 1800 calories. And I'm like, dude, no thanks. Nope.
Well,
I'm going to look just like this. I'm going to eat what I, you know,
we went over your diet a little bit too, and you weren't eating a whole lot either.
Yeah.
To be honest, like calories.
I was eating a lot more than James though.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That is unbelievable that Brick is.
He looks great though. He looks great. It's paying off. The sustainability of it. I don't know.
That's the thing is as a coach now.
Yeah. Especially as the season gets going.
There's a lot of things that work, but there's no reason to do anything if you don't plan on making it lifelong. Like if it's not sustainable, you shouldn't be doing it. So we should always be striving to like find our what works best forever. And that 6 hours of eating window and only being at 1800 calories as a dude, as a guy who is 250 plus pounds and an athlete like he was, 1800 calories, man, that's there's 120 pound women who run races and don't even lift weights who eat 1800 calories a day.
Yeah. Like, so it'll be interesting to see where he settles. Cause I can't imagine him.
I'd love to talk to him about it.
Yeah.
We actually, it's funny. I don't know if it's just because it's KF Sons or whatever, but we've never had Steve or Brick on the podcast.
Should you get them both together? And I would love to just be.
Oh God. That would actually, I'm not even sure. I've only ever seen me. I wasn't part of the line room or the, you know, your guys' like friend group, but I've only ever seen them together like once or twice.
Yeah.
And they're obviously both individually create a player characters on their own.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't imagine throwing Brian into them. Those three.
Yeah. Oh man. I just remember James and Brian were in the same room as player coach for that first year. Brian was in Iowa City. And it was a fine dynamic. I think they both understood. James is professional as it gets. So
yeah,
it was fine. But like, you know, Brian would let him have it just to, you know, just as bad as anybody else. And it was fun. I mean, it was a fun experience.
Yeah.
And then when Steve got in there, it was because the age gap between Brian and Steve.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it is officially, but it's a pretty wide gap. I would guess.
It's got to be,
I would guess 15 years or
12
so.
12 or 15 years.
Yeah. So it was an interesting dynamic with both of those. But having Steve and James on the same podcast, that would be fun. You should try and make that work.
God. We'd get a lot of listeners.
I'm sure you would.
It's 11 years, by the way, in case you're curious.
Nice.
11? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. To Bronco legend, though, James Ferentz.
Yeah.
Super Bowl champion.
Yep.
Bronco and Patriot legend.
Yeah.
Mostly
Bronco legend, but
the perseverance that guy had in his career. I mean, I remember his first year out, he was working part time at Randy's Carpets and lifting and staying with it. I mean,
it's crazy.
And he had a 9 year
career. We gotta get him in to tell that story. 9 or 10 year
career. Yeah. I mean,
we gotta get him on here to tell that story.
He would be a very good podcast for you.
Yeah. I gotta reach out to him. Yeah. Our goal for the summer now is Lisa Bluter, now that she just retired.
Dude, blown away by that. I don't think it was on anybody's radar, right?
I immediately saw it and like I was like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And Jan Jensen is like it almost feels like a copy and paste sort of deal.
Yeah.
But it's just like, but then you think about it, right? And it's like, as a coach, you probably want to try and go out on top as much as you can as a player in anything. It doesn't even matter. Forget sports. If you're a CEO, if you're a, like, it would be nice to go out when you're winning.
Yeah.
But it's hard because if you're winning, why would you stop winning? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Bluter just coached the greatest scorer in all of the sports history. Went to back-to-back natties. It's not going to get better.
Yeah.
It's simply not going to get better. The odds, I mean, it could, I guess, but the odds say it's not. And she's retirement age. I think she's in her low 60s.
Yeah.
It's
just kind of crazy. Like the I feel like the pillars of the coaching tree or staff at Iowa are, crazy. In my mind, her and Fran is getting up there as far as tenure goes. But Bluter, Lisa Bluter, the Brands, and then KF, like those three, like, and now one of them is gone. Like, what kind of dominoes are we going to see over the next
some
years? I'm sure the Brands probably have quite a few years left in them.
But it feels like they could coach till they're 140.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I don't think they'll ever die.
You're probably right.
I don't. If there's people on that are going to live forever, it's the Brands brothers.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Death fears them.
You know, I mean, KF, he's getting up there. Like, he was 60 when we were in.
Yeah.
Also, and we've been out of college a fair amount of time now.
Have. They talk about it every year now. I mean, especially with all the stuff that's happened in the last few years, not to mention the NIL stuff, the entire changing the landscape. But like every year now is kind of like is this? I can only imagine what it's going to feel like for like you and I when KF, when that post goes out about KF that he's done. I absolutely will when he gives his last press conference, right? Absolutely. And you will. I'll have to go.
Yeah.
As a member of the walk-on media.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not as a former player, but as a walk-on media.
He split us.
I don't know if you could get in that the other way.
No, he wouldn't let me. I'm worthless as a former player. I'll never be. There's no way. I'm not on the list of being brought back as like a former captain or honorary captain. No, that's not true. No, it absolutely is true. There's guys who are, and there are guys who aren't. And you're a have and I'm a have not, and that's okay. I'm just a podcaster now. It's okay. I've accepted that.
I'm just a full-time stay-at-home dad now, pretty much.
Well, you're wearing the Williamsburg jacket, and I think I saw something. I was going to do research on this podcast, like, what new topics should we talk about with Austin? I think I saw something about you joining the Williamsburg staff last fall for the football team.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
It was a lot of fun. You know, I always knew that I wanted to get back into coaching, and I wasn't going to that first year just to kind of fully take everything off my plate. No commitments whatsoever. But, you know, my father-in-law, Kurt, being the head coach, I wasn't quite sure how to say no to him.
Right. Yeah.
Or just tell him, he never really asked, or just tell him, like, you know, I don't think I'm going to be a part of it this year. And, you know, luckily I decided to be a part of it because we were able to help Kurt win his first state title.
They win the title?
They did.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're a state champ?
Yeah. We had some help with some extremely talented football players this year. One of them being Derek Weisskopf, who's going to be a Hawkeye next year.
Is he insane?
He's an incredible athlete. He's like one of those dudes. He's not going to wow you with like super speed or agility or anything like that. But like the thing that really impressed me with Derek was just him, like his intangibles. Like
he's like Josie.
Just being a gamer or CJ. Like he really reminds me of CJ.
Love just that.
Figuring out a way to get the job done. Like
On Three is going to write an article about how he's sneaky athletic here in like 3 months.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so for instance, I mean, he was playing wide receiver, tight end type for us as the season started. And our quarterback ended up twisting his ankle, getting hurt, and had to sit a few games, and Derek moved to quarterback because he had played that early in his high school career. And I mean, by the end of the year, he's just slinging it, he's running it, he's you know, handing it off, like he's doing it. And you know, we probably, you know, I mean, without him and then some of the other guys that we had at receiver, some speed guys, you know, I'm not sure Kurt would have gotten his first one, but he'd been really close. He got second, I think, three times, and this was his fourth state championship game.
Man,
so they finally got it done for him. So
the, you know, we had the Paulsons on last year at some point, and they obviously live in Kelowna now, and they were trying to recruit us. They were trying to recruit us over to the area.
Uh huh.
They're like, hey, we can. our goal, and they were totally serious about it. They're like, we're going to try and get all the guys who still live in Iowa or anybody who will come back to just come and populate the Kelowna, Williamsburg, like all this Eastern Iowa, that spot of this, you know, part of the state, and just build like state championship football teams and all sports teams with all of our kids. And I was like, you know, it doesn't sound like a bad idea.
No, yeah, I'm all in. You know, that's a great idea. I love it.
And he mentioned you when he's like, yeah, they got Blythe right there. I was like, I don't know, man.
Eastern Iowa is a great place to raise a family.
It is. It, like, no, but you're serious. You're right. Like, there, I can't think a Williamsburg. If you're thinking small town, like, and there's a lot of great small towns in Iowa, but Williamsburg or something like Kelowna, like that's up there on the list. There's not a lot of bad things going on in those places.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Waukee's all right too, but it's bigger. I mean,
yeah.
Waukee's like a big Williamsburg, I think.
Yeah, I like it.
Good place. But were you like O-line coach? How did that go? How did you feel comfortable in the coaching role?
Yeah, I did. You know, I think for me, I had a lot of good experiences with great coaches over my career. So,
yeah,
you know, had a lot of good examples to try and learn from, and being a part of a good solid group on the O-line. Great kids, good group of seniors, and then a good group of young guys that just came to work every day and, you know, didn't say boo about it. So it was fun, a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to next fall.
That makes it easy.
Absolutely.
Well, Grant, I guess you got any other questions?
I don't want to. Yeah, no, I can rip some. I'm curious. So you played in the greatest regular season game of all time back in 2018, with Rams Chiefs, like 54-51. I'm curious what that's like as an offensive line or as an offensive lineman to play in it. Because in my stupid brain, I'd be like, oh, you guys are scoring at will. You must be like you're on the sidelines. Like, oh, this isn't that hard at all. But then also on the other side, defense is getting scored on a lot. So it's like, oh, shoot, we got to get back out there. I'm just curious, like, what's that like in the game? Is it like, are we extra tired all the time? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, I think coaches do a great job of getting guys ready week to week. And even before that, getting in shape for those types of games, you know, cause everything at that level is elite. You're the best of the best at every position. And those games, that game especially, was a lot of fun because we were executing at such a high level that year, especially offensively. We knew we could score points as long as everybody kind of executed their role. And, gosh, that game I'll never forget. We were supposed to play Mexico City, and Lady Gaga ran a concert like the week before and just ruined the turf. So luckily for us, that game got moved back to LA and the Coliseum, and it was a ton of fun and something I'll never forget. It's one of my favorite game balls.
I love the extra component there that the reason you guys moved it back was because Lady Gaga ruined the field.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild.
How much faster do you feel in the color rush jerseys?
So much faster.
Is it like, give me a 40 right now? I'm 4.6 immediately.
Yeah. You know, I think I was officially clocked at 5.3 something. I'd probably run at like 5.2. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. There we go.
And then I wanted to ask you this last time. I didn't get the chance to. Have you ever asked Pete Carroll for a piece of gum?
I have not.
Or have you ever seen someone do it? Like, no, like sideline?
I don't even know where he gets it. I don't even know where he gets it. It's not like you can see like the, you know, the block of gum or whatever in his pocket. Like, who knows?
He's just been chewing one piece of gum for 40 years now.
Might be.
I think the best thing about KF is like the three packs of gum in his locker when we would roll in on game day.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Like Grant. Yeah,
it wasn't experiment or anything like that. It was like Hubba Bubba or whatever it was. Right.
Yeah.
Bubblicious.
Yeah. And it was a lot. I don't remember I think they put whole packs in there.
Yeah, they might single-handedly stay in business because of him.
And like, so Grant, the managers would set up the game day locker room for us. So, you know, your helmet and everything's hung in the right spot and mouth guards put. I mean, it's pretty meticulous. The managers are insane. They do unbelievable work. But then they would also like set up the coaches' lockers. And like, if you're the head man, you get what you want. So KF right there in his locker on the top shelf, his gum was ready for game day. And man, KF goes after gum hard as fuck.
he doesn't hold flavor in the first place. And he probably runs it out of flavor in about 2.5 minutes.
He's just on the sideline. It's it's the way he gets his energy out.
Yeah.
How he stays so thin at an elderly age. That and the fact that he worked out with Coach Doyle every day in the weight room.
It's probably probably a combination.
He's a badass.
Does KF work out in the khakis?
No.
No, I don't think so. No, I think he puts gym shorts on.
He puts gym clothes on. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a shower in his office.
That can't be true.
Yep. No, it absolutely is true.
Yeah. His bathroom is like a full bath.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I only went in there one time. I sat there one time.
To shower?
No. Yeah. No, in his office one time.
Just running there with a towel. He's trying to like break down film or something.
Coach, the showers are full downstairs. I'm gonna get a quick one here. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, our glue. Yeah. Okay. I went in there to get told that I was not being put on scholarship. So that was fun.
And he said, hit the showers.
So memorable.
Yeah, it was like the compliment sandwich, you know? Mm-hmm. Hey, we love what you're doing for us. You played great last year. But, it was after my first year of starting. So he's like, hey, she's not going to be out there. The numbers. It's the numbers. And, shit. Clue. You know, McCarron, Croston, they've been great for us. They're a year older. We wish we could give you a scholarship, but it's just not in the numbers this year. Okay. We love what you're doing. Keep working hard. Uh-huh. We'll put you on eventually. I'm just sitting there like, fuck, man. Yeah. We're in the middle of camp at this point. No, but we appreciate you coming back on. You're a guest that consistently, we have a couple guests who are just like, yeah, I'll come on. We'll just keep bothering you until you don't.
I'm always down. I love it.
Well, keep enjoying being dad and all that free time. I know that time is the best in the world. It's awesome. I stood out in the driveway today for 45 minutes and we just got like a little Tykes t-ball thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trying to get my daughter to swing the bat, and she thinks it's hilarious just to knock the ball off the tee with her hand.
Like, yeah, because why not?
Yeah, it's a great time. So hopefully the fans enjoyed the Austin Blythe episode, the third edition of Austin Blythe on our show. And we'll be back again next week with another episode, hopefully another cool guest. I'm gonna try and get Mitch King, I think.
He would be a great guest.
He's been on the list for a while, and he does advertisements with us now for his insurance. So we need to have him on as our actual guest. But we'll be back then. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.